Christian believer, did you know that the Bible says that you are a king and priest unto your God? What does that mean? And what is this priesthood?
Coming to you from the radio studios of Souls Harbor Covenant Church in Miami, Florida, USA, this is Walking in Power, a dynamic life application Bible study with Bern Zumpano, anointed author and teacher of authentic Christian doctrine. Bern Zumpano's spirit-filled teachings on practical Christianity have touched and transformed the lives of many people who have opened their hearts to God's Holy Spirit as a result of Bern's instructional teaching. Bern shows us how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how He can change your life and circumstances. We invite you now to listen in with family and friends as Bern discusses Christian issues and answers that will teach you to walk in the power and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Bern.
Thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, on behalf of all of the people of Souls Harbor Church and all Christians worldwide, I come together in agreement, firstly speaking our voice of thanks, praise, glory, honor, exaltation, and majesty to your holy name, to all of the men of the earth and to the ends of the world. Anoint the people worldwide with eyes to see and ears to hear. We agree that all demonic scales are broken off of their spiritual eyes and ears, and that they will see and hear with the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of power and might of your Holy Spirit, we call a clear, wide, open, unobstructed path cut to the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of every person listening, and to every man upon this earth, and agree that you will shine your light and truth upon them and into them. We agree for and call in, by faith, the greatest spiritual end-time harvest that the world has ever seen. Also in agreement, we bind Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the princes of the north, south, east, and west, all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in high places, all territorial spirits everywhere, all ruler spirits over all communities and peoples worldwide, all spirits above, around, and below them, all spirits of antichrist, lies, deception, religion, witchcraft, python, unbelief, doubt, divination, all spirits of harm or immorality of any kind, all spirits of opposition, hindrance, interference, and obstruction, destruction, murder, theft, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit, the Absalom spirit, all spirits of slander, scandal, rumor, libel, defamation, maligning, derision, opinionated spirits, rumor and gossip, accusations, and false accusations, along with all of their physical and psychic attacks, assignments, and operations. We loose all the peoples everywhere from such activities, assignments, and attacks and operations, and call their strongholds down and destroyed, canceled, made null and void, cursed and destroyed at their roots, never more manifested or come to pass, rendered of no effect, judged, spoiled, and never seated, and decree any and all retaliation, revenge, or getting even permanently, immediately, completely, and continually forbidden, all in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. And in the authority of His name, Father, this is our faith confession, and we believe that we receive, and the saints said in agreement, Amen.
Greetings to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends of our radio listening audience. Welcome to our worldwide Bible study, where in our previous discussion, we began the topic of your priesthood in Christ. In the Old Testament, in Genesis 14, when Abraham was returning from the Battle of the Kings, it says that Melchizedek, priest and king of Salem, came to Abraham with bread and wine. Now that bread and wine, which is spoken of, is symbolic of life. Indeed, it's symbolic of the body and blood of Christ Jesus, through whom we have endless life. And that bread and wine that was being carried by Melchizedek, king of Salem, was a foretelling of things to come. Now it says that he was the high priest of God, and what he was bringing to Abraham represented life. So the priesthood of this Melchizedek was symbolic of a priesthood after the Holy Spirit. Interestingly, all priesthoods in the scripture were priesthoods after the flesh, and the one exception of this was the Melchizedek priesthood. Well, who was Melchizedek? In Hebrews 7, 1 through 3, we read, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, he abides a priest continually." Here we find out that Melchizedek was a physical Old Testament appearance of God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. There are some theologians who teach that he was Shem, or a descendant of Shem. No. Others teach that it was an angel. No, because it also says in the book of Hebrews that Christ is high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And Christ would not and cannot be high priest to an angel. An angel is a lower being than the Christ. No, the definition here in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 2 and 3, is that he was, by interpretation, king of righteousness. King of righteousness is a title which belongs only to God. Only God is righteous. And after that, also king of Salem. Salem was the old English expression of the city Jerusalem, Jerusalem. However, the Salem that is being mentioned here is not the Jerusalem of Israel. It is the heavenly New Jerusalem. And he is called King of Peace. This is another title reserved for God alone. It says, without father, without mother. Well, God is endless. He is without beginning and without end. It says, he is without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. He abides a priest continually. This is the priesthood of the Holy Spirit, because he is like unto the Son of God. He has all the attributes of the Godhead, but he is not in heaven. He is on the earth. And the only aspect of the Godhead that has been on the earth continually is the Holy Spirit. Father God sits on the throne of grace in the heavenly tabernacle. Scripture says Jesus, after he ascended, sits at the right hand of the Father. What that means then is that the Holy Spirit, who has always been on the earth from the beginning, is physically manifested in Genesis 14 and then again in Genesis 17 and 21 as the physical manifestation of the high priest of God called Melchizedek. Melchizedek, in the actual Hebrew, Melchizedek, means righteous priest king. Now the Holy Spirit, if we let Scripture define Scripture, in the Gospel of John tells us that God's Spirit is the Spirit of life. The ministry, therefore, of Melchizedek, God's Spirit, is the ministry of life. What is the Melchizedek ministry, and why is the Melchizedek ministry important? Well, it's important because the Scripture goes on to say in Hebrews that Jesus is high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, what that means in turn is that if Jesus is high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, he is high priest of a royal priesthood. But watch this. In 1 Peter 2:9, we read, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." That's Jesus that they're speaking of. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That expression, peculiar people, does not mean that you're odd. No. It means that you are chosen and set aside for a purpose. Notice it says, you have a royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2:9. Again, in John 1:6, we read, and he, that is the Lord, has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. We are kings and priests unto God, that is Christ, and his Father, who is also God. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. We are kings and priests, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Well, that means then, since Christ brings life wherever he goes to whomever he touches, and his words are spirit and they are life, the Gospel of John says. And he is high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, who is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life. Then what do we know? We know that this priesthood is the only priesthood of the Scripture that is a priesthood after the Spirit, a life-giving priesthood. And we are a royal priesthood. The only royal priesthood in Scripture is the Melchizedek priesthood. Therefore, we are priests unto God, John 1:6 says. Correction, Mikey. Therefore, we are priests unto God, Revelation 1:6 says. And therefore, he has made us kings and priests of the Melchizedek order, the royal priesthood. In other words, Christ ministers life. We are to minister life. You see, the heart of the Father, which is life-giving, is to look beyond the sin to see the need. The heart of the Father is to love people to life. How? Through Melchizedek, the Holy Spirit. When God comes on the scene, dead things come to life. And so, we're to learn from this, that when we minister and priest our priesthood, if you will, what we are called by God to do is to bring words of life to the person or words of life to their circumstance. In line with God's word, of course. But God says, the words which I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So you see, when we minister as priests unto our God, we don't put people down. We don't bash them. We don't put them under performance. We don't tell them what's wrong with them. We tell them what's right with them. We don't complain or harp about what they did wrong. No, instead, we talk to them, and we affirm them, and to build them up, we tell them what they did right and how to do it right. Now, if we understand this principle, our ministry in Christ, our Melchizedek priesthood becomes a life-giving priesthood. God may put people in front of our path to minister to, and if he does, we have to be sure that we bring that Melchizedek priesthood to them through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Every day we yield in trust to God's Spirit that he will tell us what to do, what to say, how to say it, if to say it, when to say it. And by doing so, we affirm the person. We speak over them words of life, words of hope, affirmation, uplifting. Build them up, not tear them down. Romans says, when a brother fall, restore him gently in love. We have thousands upon thousands of churches who, instead of ministering the Melchizedek ministry, put people under performance, pound their fists on the Bible to show the people who have sinned their error. And Jesus says the letter of the word kills, the spirit of the word gives life. So instead of ministering the Melchizedek priesthood life to the people, they bash them with words and throw them out of the church for their sin, or make them go up front and publicly confess and humiliate them. What is that? It's spiritual arrogance and it's self-righteousness. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No, that isn't the Melchizedek priesthood, and that is not the true Christian faith. Jesus never shamed anyone. He just told them the truth very directly, but he told it in love. Perhaps no greater place do we see the life-giving Melchizedek priesthood exercised than in the parable of the raising of Lazarus. Read along with me. John 11, verse 1 onward. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. That's old English. It means he stayed right where he was for 2 extra days and didn't go to him. John 11, 7. Then after that, he said to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone you, and you go there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbles not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that said he unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was high unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus said unto her, Your brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believe you this? She said unto him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and called for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goes unto the grave to weep there. Then, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, who opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take you away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you hear me. And I knew that you hear me always, because of the people which stand by I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Notice that when Jesus told the apostles that Lazarus was dead, he said, Let us go and wake him. But then it goes on to say in John 11:35 that Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Because Lazarus was dead? The crowd said, Look how he loved him. No, Jesus wept because of their lack of faith and unbelief. He had already said to Martha and Mary that Lazarus would live. They were thinking of the resurrection. Jesus was thinking of the here and now, because when Jesus comes on the scene, dead things come to life. Dead people come to life. Dead marriages come to life. Dead businesses come to life. Dead relationships come to life. And so Jesus wept because they didn't believe. And when he stood before the tomb, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. And Jesus said, Loose him and let him go. You see, what was Jesus doing? He's high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, priest of an endless life. The Holy Spirit, who the Gospel of John says is the Spirit of life. So he brought kingdom life, his Melchizedek priesthood, to the tomb of Lazarus. And in so doing, by speaking words of life, Lazarus came forth and was loosed from the bondage of death. Jesus was exercising his Melchizedek ministry. And Jesus calls us to do the same. Let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior? If not, why not? God is calling you for a relationship with the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, that he may bring life to your circumstances, life to you, deliverance to you, life to those you relate to through his word. And if God has a way into your life, he's got a way out of your circumstances. He's able to turn things around just for the asking. God wants a personal relationship with you. He isn't a God of religion. He is a God of relationship. He gives his priesthood life to you, and he wants you to give that life to others. Are you willing? Won't you step forth in faith and see it prove itself? Pray this prayer aloud for me now, won't you? Being willing to turn from your sin, God will do the rest.
Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce them. I ask your forgiveness. I invite you into my heart now to be Lord and Savior. That is, to lead me through life and save me. I confess you before men as the resurrected Christ. Come into me now, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you by trusting faith, and faith alone. Amen.
Now, if you prayed that prayer, get yourself into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, non-denominational church. Get water baptized by immersion, Holy Spirit baptized by those who have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which will give you the power to walk the faith walk. Get into Christian community where they will teach you the Word of God. And I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same, because the evidence that Jesus Christ is real is the proof of changed lives by the millions worldwide. God bless you, and God willing, talk to you next week.
This program was brought to you by the volunteers of the International Radio Ministry of Souls Harbor Covenant Church, Miami, Florida, USA. We desire that this broadcast become a spiritual nourishment and blessing to you. There's a lot of Christian entertainment and testimony activity on TV and radio worldwide, but there's a greater need for instruction in the Word and the ways of God. Our desire is to help fill that need. If this program has been a blessing to you and others, you may wish to become a contributor to this ministry as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Your contribution in the form of an international money order or personal check stateside would be greatly appreciated to carry on God's work and to keep us on the air. If you can't afford to support us financially, please be our covenant partner through your prayer support. Pray that our mission will be carried out according to God's will as we carry out His command that our voice go into all the earth and our words to the end of the world. We pray that this program is a blessing to you and that you'll tell others about us. Burns' classic and timeless Bible teachings, given over many years past, are highly anointed and are now available on cassette tapes, along with his books and other ministry materials that teach the believer to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. Write us or send us a postcard with a clear return address requesting our catalog or making your comments. Our address is Walking in Power, P.O. Box 161322, Miami, Florida, USA 33176. Or for telephone orders using your credit card, call toll-free 1-888-273-WORD. That's 1-888-273-9673. Until next week, we remind you that the Bible tells us that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved from our sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as a living person, willing and able to get involved in your life, shouldn't you? Invite Him into your heart today to be Lord and Savior, and receive Him by a trusting faith alone. If you want to know more about the necessity of being saved, write us. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hope you'll tune in next week at this same time as we bring you more of the Holy Spirit's timely Bible teachings through Bern Zimpano. Until then, God bless you and keep you in His love. Walking in Power is a production of United Ministries International.